Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I believe we're on episode 165. I am joined, as always, by frickin' Amanda and Randy. Dave is not here because he is out in the middle of nowhere where there is no internet.
He's being eaten by walkers.
Yes, as we speak.
Oh, no.
I know you two are doing well and much better than Glenn, spoiler alert.
No!
Oh, man. Way to drop the bomb at the beginning of the show there.
It's okay.
We don't know.
Everybody's had a couple days to digest it.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I'm okay believing that he somehow makes it out of that, and that it is, in fact, that crazy loser coward guy's body that's getting eaten. The only thing that would be weird is that he's able to crawl out from underneath all those walkers as they just keep digging so deep into the yummy flesh, but whatever.
Yeah, but Well, let's just kind of break it down from the beginning.
Sure.
For anybody who hasn't seen the episode, you may want to skip ahead a couple minutes if you don't want to know what's going on.
It's too late. Glenn's dead already.
We are left believing that Glenn is dead and being torn apart by walkers, last we see him. But as Justin just mentioned, it could very well be the piece of shit coward guy that fell on top of Glenn, and it is his entrails being pulled out that we see. But I agree with you. The question is, okay, let's say that Glenn isn't being torn apart. Where would he go? Because behind the chain link fence that he kind of backed himself into the corner against, there's a horde of walkers. And then down the alleyway that he's in currently, there's a horde of walkers. And there's really nowhere to go. So where would he go if he were to have survived that initial onslaught that we saw on screen?
Well, yeah. Theoretically speaking, if he was underneath the piece of shit guy, then, I mean, I didn't see the episode, so I'm actually asking this out of curiosity. Is it possible that he gets stuck underneath the guy and then he just gets covered with, like, walker goop?
Yeah.
And then they don't smell him?
It's possible.
And they use that trick again?
It's entirely possible, but there's so many walkers. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine that they're all hungry. They all want a piece of this one piece of shit guy. So even when some of them get their fill, which I don't even know if they can feel full, but I have to imagine that they're going to just keep digging, you know,
right,
until their fingers hit cement, essentially, mm-hmm, or bone or something. So I don't think he can survive under there for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the other big dead giveaway that a lot of people are talking about is, yeah, his character totally survived because the actor was not on The Talking Dead immediately after the show. And that's kind of a tradition. Anytime a major character is killed off in Walking Dead, mm-hmm, we see an interview with them afterwards. This time, Glenn was not there.
Well, it could be that they might save that for next week's Walking Dead, if they confirm that Glenn did die, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe they want to leave it up in the air this week, but if he is indeed dead, then next week they'd make it obvious and then have him on.
I think they're enjoying
The Talking Dead.
Yeah, totally. I think they're enjoying that everybody's talking about it all week long.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's the whole point,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
They want people to talk about the show, and it was the premiere, so...
It was
I gotta make it. Oh wait, it wasn't.
Third,
no, it
third
was the second
episode.
Yeah,
third. Wait,
third
already?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
I am not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. It's been good, honestly. It hasn't left us a moment to breathe. It's been one giant action sequence.
Yeah, and it's been. I like the way that it's been split up because our heroes have been split into two splinter units, let's call them. Mm-hmm. So one's kind of staying back in Alexandria, taking care of a bunch of potential raiders, and then the other group is leading this gigantic horde of zombies away, far, far, 20 plus miles away from Alexandria, so they don't have to worry about worry about stampede. Being able to run. Yeah, it's a zombie stampede as much as they can stampede. So it's interesting that it's been split into two. So it's been several episodes since we've seen the entire gang together. Mm-hmm. And I anticipate it'll be a couple more probably before we see them all together again.
Right. That seems to be the show's MO in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep people split up as long as possible.
Well, because it's safety,
keep them guessing.
Safety in numbers, so mm-hmm. separate them.
Mm-hmm. You gotta keep them separated.
Oh, shit.
And rumor has it, by the end of the season, they're going to be put into a situation with more peril than they have experienced thus far.
Ooh.
I don't know how they can keep upping the ante forever.
I know, right?
I mean, that's how we end up with people riding tigers.
Right. I was going to say, I was thinking zombies with jetpacks. To get those hard-to-reach humans. Who knows? I mean, honestly, walkers aren't the scariest thing in this world. Those other survivors can be pretty damn creepy and dangerous. So,
I know. I feel bad when I'm all of a sudden rooting to kill the humans.
Mm. A lot of them are pieces of shit, man.
Yeah.
So, I stopped watching last season after they killed Beth, because I just felt like that was so bleak and depressing, and I was tired of feeling awful mm-hmm. every week. But I did tune in for the season finale. But not even that was enough to make me feel like I wanted to get back into it. But do you feel like the beginning of the season has been worth watching?
I do. I feel like it's been a nonstop ride since the show returned. Because mm-hmm. was it the mid-season finale that killed Beth? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember being very frustrated when that happened, because I finally started liking the character, and it seemed silly to end her life so quickly. And
pointlessly.
Yeah, that was dumb. It was all like an accident. I don't know. Whatever. And I got over it, but it's like they've been doing house cleaning, and all these people that we thought were going to be on the show for a long time are now gone. And it's been very bleak, like you said, but the action has been there, so as depressing as it's been, I've still been kind of excited to tune in each week.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Just me. I mean, compared to the other seasons, I think I'm just so excited that the governor is no longer a thing. Like, I got so sick of that character and his story. I was ready to quit the show back when he was a thing, and now that he's gone, I'm excited about the show again.
Was that only one? No, that wasn't one season. That was like two seasons, right?
Yeah, it was seasons 3 and 4.
Yeah, it was a long.
Yeah, it's a long time. Two long seasons time. To be dealing with the same asshole is too much. I mean, especially when you compare it to, what was the name of the town that they were trying to get to? When they were all
Terminus?
Terminus, yeah.
Oh, that was, like,
that
resolved
was quick.
In one episode.
Yeah, yeah. They got caught in one episode, and then the next episode, they were free.
Yeah.
No big deal. NBD. And I'm okay with that. Now it's more Rick and his adventures. But, I don't know, man. It's intense. And I do like that feeling that not anyone... The only people that are safe on the show are Rick and Carl. I think anyone else could die.
I don't know. I still have a feeling that we could see the end of Rick. Carl, I don't think they're going to kill off just because he's a kid. And I know they haven't really had any trouble killing off other kids, but something about Carl I think they're going to keep around. But Rick, who knows? Maybe they'll throw us a curveball.
I think if you are going to lose Rick, it'll be in the last episode.
Yeah. I'd buy that.
And I don't know how many seasons we're talking here. This is already season 6, and you know, it's only 16 episodes a season, but I don't know how much life this show can have. I'm there was talk that, you know, it's a 10-year show, and I could buy that, but I don't know how many years I want to be watching this show. I would rather them end on a high note and go out on top than bore me to death.
Oh, for sure. I would always agree with that statement, no matter what the show is. Mm-hmm. Same thing with movie series, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like Jaws 17?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know, man. It might be behoove you to get back on board and just watch this season. It's been pretty good.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
It's been fun. And Carol's like Rambo.
Well, she's always kind of been like, well, not always, but for a while, that's kind of been.
Now she's putting blood on her. She's putting blood on her face and dressing up in disguise and slitting throats and shooting people.
She is a pretty big badass, I gotta say.
She's intense. Special little snowflake.
Started out by intimidating little boys.
Yeah. I forgot about that kid that wanted like cookies or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then she actually bakes him the cookies, and he's like, he's got to be too scared to eat that shit.
No. Someone's crazy. Anywho.
Yeah.
Speaking of crazy, did you guys get a chance to watch Supergirl that premiered on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I did. Now, I didn't watch. I remember right around the time of San Diego Comic-Con, there was a leaked version of the pilot. Mm-hmm. Was it the exact same one that was aired just this week, or was it in any way different? Did you guys watch the leaked one?
I did not watch the leaked one.
I didn't either, so I'm real curious about that. But I remember hearing people's initial reactions based on that, and I'll go ahead and be the first to get my thoughts out there. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of fun. I don't know anything about Supergirl, but I'm willing to give the show a chance. Mm-hmm. I like how they didn't dick around with too much of an origin story. Like, within the first 15 or 20 minutes, she was in her outfit with a cape, flying around, trying to fight evil. Granted, she wasn't very good at it, but I like that they didn't waste any time. I think that was probably actually one of my favorite elements about the storytelling of that show so far. But the characters are fun. The Jimmy Olsen character is kind of cool. It's a neat kind of tie-in. I really have no problem. Well, yeah, I mean, for the most part, I have no big problems with it. It's kind of weird that her quasi-sister is being used. It is so well tied in with the government, you know, with this agency.
Yeah, Alex Danvers is her name.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, obviously, it's a huge plot point, so it's meant to be convenient. It just seems like one of those things that's for the sake of plot, a little too convenient and a little too contrived. But I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, what did you think of Calista Flockhart and her Devil Wears Prada kind of role?
I think she nailed the role perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, she. My first reaction is what I'm sure the showrunners want you to think. She's right. A total piece of shit.
Yeah, a bit of a C word, that one.
Yeah.
Where, especially since Kara Danvers, played by, what's her name, Melissa Benoist, she's an absolute delight. Like, I liked her a lot. I thought she was fun to watch, and I liked her. I don't know if the show's necessarily for me, though. It's a little bit too campy for me. I realize it's a family superhero show, and it's supposed to be lighthearted and everything, but all I could think about was Lois and Clark the entire time I was watching it.
Well, and it helped that Dean Cain plays her
father. Was in it.
I did appreciate that he was her father, or her adopted father.
Her dad, yeah.
Yeah, he had like 8 seconds of screen time.
Did he even have any lines?
I don't think he did. He just smiled.
Yeah.
And then Helen Slater, who played Supergirl like 30 years ago, she was like, I know I'm not your mother, but blah, blah, blah. I can still ground you.
I appreciate the nods in that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then they never refer to Superman as Superman.
It's always him.
Him, the big guy in blue.
I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is either a licensing issue, which would be kind of weird, or just the fact that it's called Supergirl and they don't want to take anything away from her show by saying Superman.
What's happening?
Whoa. I don't know. Someone's dialing a phone.
It's really weird. I'm not even touching my phone, but it was dialing itself. I apologize.
That's all right.
Is it ghosts?
Seriously, it's almost Halloween, so it might be.
David doesn't believe in ghosts, so he's not here, so he won't believe it.
Oh. I thought it was okay, but yeah, like the campiness of it was a little much for me. I mean, I kind of wanted, like, a little bit more nuance. I like a little bit more nuance in my television, and it's not a nuanced show at all. Not that, like, it has to be, but it was just, you know, kind of hard for me to get into. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's kind of cute.
Yeah, I think it's a good show for a family to sit down and watch.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I necessarily fit into that demographic.
Yeah. I don't think I do.
Yeah. But I'm glad you liked it, Randy. I thought it was fun. I mean, I made it through it. And then, of course, there's that whole prison that escaped the Phantom Zone. So now you just have, like, this limitless pool of characters to showcase each week. So there'll be new villains each and every week, I'm sure. And we don't necessarily have to know who they are. So that'll make it easy for writing. I thought the visual effects were really good. I liked when she was saving mm-hmm. the plane. Her flying looked really good, especially when you see like the breaking of sound barrier with the little cloud. Mm-hmm. I was like that burst.
One thing I didn't like about the flying shots is the thing where they accentuate like all the dust and the grime on the lens of the virtual camera that's capturing her in flight. You know, you could see just like a bunch of little particulate grime and lens flare-y kind of stuff. It's stuff that generally people add to visual effects to try to sell it, to make it look like it was captured with a real camera. Mm-hmm. But usually it's just used to cover kind of shoddy visual effects.
Well, it is television.
No, but overall I thought it was really good. Other than that was just, it kind of bothered me. It detracted from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was like they overused it. But overall I thought it was very good for TV. And myself, having come from watching Smallville its entire 10-year run, I was really, really happy with just the overall quality of the visual effects and the fact that we got to see her just jump right into action, like I mentioned before.
Right.
It can't be sure. I totally agree. And maybe not your thing, but I'm definitely going to give it a shot.
The visual effects are the same people that do The Flash as well, by the way.
Oh, cool. And that's pretty good looking, too. Mm-hmm. And it has been since day one, which is nice.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Indeed.
Coming from a person that hates everything super. Like, I don't like Superman, Supergirl, Steel. I'm just not Superboy.
Okay, so when she was given Superman's blanket, her new cape, at the end of, towards the end of the episode,
mm-hmm.
so that leads two questions.
Where's Superman's cape?
Yeah, doesn't Superman need his cape? And two, what was up with that material? It almost looked like part of it was red, and then there was like this translucent netting thing that kind of came up. Like It looked like you know, like a wedding veil kind of
like,
material,
yeah.
Like a lace or something like that.
I know what you're talking about.
And then when it showed her with it on, it was just like a standard red cape. But when it was in the box, it looked really weird.
I felt like it wasn't her cape, though. I felt like it was her skirt. I felt like decided to use it as her skirt, because her skirt looked a lot like...
That's interesting.
Which I felt like was a little...
A bulletproof skirt.
Weird.
Yeah, I need one of those.
I mean, she probably does.
Uh-huh. So she sends the rest of the cape back to Superman, the rest of the blanket, and it's just got like this circular thing cut out of it, because all she used it for was to make a skirt.
Yeah.
So he holds it up, there's a big like hastily cut circle, and he's all, "That bitch!" Because, you know, they got to have that family rivalry thing going.
That.
I was going to say, like, sibling rivalry, but they're cousins, so they're obviously not siblings. But I don't know. I don't know how cousins are supposed
to react. And he's, like, older than her now.
Yeah, because she was trapped in the Phantom Zone.
And apparently pulled out, like, an entire prison ship with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the one dude looks like an old school Klingon.
Yeah, with the bumps on his head?
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah.
We'll see. IMDb, the user rating for it is like 6.3 or something. It's pretty low.
You know, the first episode. They have to establish a lot. And I think they did do a good job of establishing who everybody is and what their roles are. It's just like, because they have to give us so much information at once to get us centered in the world,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it tended to feel very rushed, and like you were saying about the sister, like, awfully coincidental. But I think that's just, like, it's just, like, how it had to be, because it was the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on board. I made it through. I mean, I had watched it after I just worked a very, very long day, and I didn't fall asleep. It had my attention the entire time from start to finish.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It doesn't suck. I just don't know if it's for me. I mean, I'll keep watching it just for the sake of the show, but I hope it lasts. I think the world needs a female superhero front and center.
Yeah.
And this could do it. Man, there's a lot of superhero shows on these days. So if you had, you got Gotham, which is a not superhero show, but comic booky. Flash, freaking Arrow, Supergirl. That's four. What else is there? It's got to be something else. Anybody think of anything off the top of their head? Constantine was canceled, but now he's going to be on Arrow.
Yeah, which is.
Wait, did you say
fun.
Daredevil?
Oh, no. Daredevil. That's okay. Interesting point. Daredevil. Then you also have. What is the other one? Jessica Jones?
Yeah.
Then you have.
Did you mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I didn't mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But that's another one.
Yeah, they are starting to use powered people now.
Yes. And that show's supposed to be really good now. And do both of you still watch it or no?
I haven't seen anything from this season yet. I'm like four or five episodes behind. But other than that, yeah, I had been watching it pretty religiously. Just not this season yet.
There you go. Man, I forgot all about the goddamn Netflix, and they're killing it. Their shows are really good. Jessica Jones, I think, is that comes out November 20th. And you get to watch them all at once. You don't got to dilly-dally.
Yeah. I like that about it.
I do, too.
A lot of people that are working on Netflix shows are really liking it, too, because normally when you work in TV, if you're trying to get a new show off the ground, you spend all this money, you make a pilot, you employ all the actors and crew, and maybe it goes over, maybe it doesn't. If Netflix likes the idea, if they like the pitch and the script and the story arc that you put together for the whole season, they'll just give you money to shoot your 10 episodes or your 13 episodes or whatever, however long your season is, without having to go through that whole pilot process. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of changing the way that TV is being produced right now.
Yeah. And people are, they're getting some big names on those shows too.
Oh, for sure.
That's pretty sweet. Your buddy David Tennant's going to be on Jessica Jones.
I saw that, yeah, as a villain, right?
Yeah, he's Kilgrave. Which doesn't mean anything to you guys.
Nope.
But
I don't even know what Jessica Jones is.
She's the Marvel Universe. She's cool. She's like, she's in cahoots with Luke Cage. Which also doesn't mean anything to you. Now that I think about it. That's funny shit. Anywho. What else we got? She's like super strong. That's her deal. I think she can fly, and she's really strong. She's like my 90s Rogue. Which is cool. What else do you need, right? If you're really strong and you can fly, those are the two big ones.
That sounds pretty good. The only thing that I would want on top of that is some amount of indestructibility.
Mm-hmm.
Make me impervious, because let's say I'm not paying attention and I'm flying really fast and I hit something.
Die.
Just break your neck and drop to the ground.
Like a bug on a windshield?
Yeah, I was going to say like a bird hitting a window or something like that. It's terrible.
Yeah, I think it's always implied. That's funny shit.
Makes my neck hurt just thinking about it.
That's funny. Let's see. What else we got here? What about the Indiana Jones?
Yeah, so we got some good news on the indie front. For a long time, I've been hoping and praying and keeping my fingers crossed and putting my little hair doll under my pillow at night when I go to bed, hoping that we are going to get an Indiana Jones 5. And there's been a lot of rumors, especially earlier this year after the success of Jurassic World with Chris Pratt taking over the universe, that he might be taking over the role of Indiana Jones. And we were set straight earlier this week when we heard that, look, Indy 5, we're still trying to make happen, and we're not going to recast it. If it does, it's going to be Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, which is cool. I'm really happy to see Indy bring the mantle back, but I'm still hearing it being referred to as a reboot from time to time. People are talking about that. So there's a couple different directions that it could be going. It could mean that there might be kind of a passing off of the mantle, almost like they tried to do with the Mutt character in the last movie, where you saw him pick up the hat at the end, and it kind of looked like it was going to be following his adventures going forward. But because Shia LaBeouf is, as we all know, the crazy Shia LaBeouf, a lot of people don't necessarily want to bank any kind of big franchise picture on him. So they're either talking about the role of Mutt could possibly be recast, because this could be taking place 10 years later. By the time they make Indy 5, it'll be effectively 10 after Crystal Skull. So that's not a huge stretch to imagine. They could just recast him, or they could bring in some other protege character, maybe somebody, a student in one of Indy's archaeology classes. He kind of takes under his wing, and he kind of becomes the new adventurer. The only thing is, if they do progress with the old Indy storyline and have a protege under him, it's going to be taking place in the 50s, 60s. And although that's interesting with the whole Cold War era thing, the whole thing that attracted me to the Indiana Jones franchise is that 30s, 40s kind of Nazi era, World War II era, as you know, just intrigue and world travel before it became so complicated. And mm-hmm. I don't know, it just seemed like things were politically easier at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cold War is not as easy to like villainize. Identify with, yeah. I guess. There you go. Mm. So
I mean, apparently it was a scary time because people had fucking bomb shelters and shit, but because
it was like right after
bombs.
The first atomic bomb was used, so people like were legitimately afraid of nuclear fallout, but now that fear is kind of like dissipated.
Even though there's more bombs now than ever before.
I know, right?
People are just kind of relaxed about it.
Yeah, and we can't even relate to that fear in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are not scared. The only real terrifying thing that has ever happened in our lifetime that I can think of where I was genuinely concerned was on 9/11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That was just weird when there were no planes in the sky. It was on the news. You couldn't get away from it. You didn't want to get away from it. It was downright scary. And that's it. That's the only real fear that I know of from the rest of the world. And I feel kind of privileged that way that that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, our parents had to do freaking drills and leave school and duck and cover to protect themselves from nuclear bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and ducking and cover, let me tell you, wouldn't help much.
You gotta stop, drop, and roll, Randy. You gotta shake the radiation right off. It's terrible. But yes, I agree. And plus, the cool thing about the Nazis is they were all into far stretches of the imagination. Like, they were all into the occult and finding some creepy shit to win the war with.
I mean, and that's the whole basis for Indiana Jones. I mean, a lot of it was based off of Hitler's actual fascination with the occult, and it's more specifically a relic called the Spear of Destiny or the Holy Lance, supposedly the spear that pierced Christ's side when he was on the cross. That is an actual artifact that Hitler became enamored with when he was in his 20s, when he first saw it in a museum. And the very in Austria, the very first thing that he did in 1938, after Germany annexed Austria at the beginning of what would become World War II, he went into that museum and took possession of this spear, the legend of which says that he who possesses it and understands its power has the power to control the world for good or for evil. But the moment you lose possession of the spear, death comes instantaneously. So this spear was kept nearby, near Hitler, in various different places throughout Germany throughout the course of the war. And then 1945, I'm giving you guys a little history lesson here, just so you know. I'm passionate about this. I actually wrote a screenplay about it. But so 1945, April, I believe, was the month. This spear was discovered in a secret bunker deep beneath some castle in Nuremberg, I believe, by General Patton and his Seventh Army. And General Patton was really the only American who was kind of superstitious enough to kind of believe the rumors and legend behind the spear. But within 30 minutes of the Americans having found the spear in this bunker, all the way across Germany in Berlin in the bunker that Hitler was hiding out in, he blew his brains out, like within 30 minutes of the Americans finding the spear. So that kind of goes along with the legend that he lost possession of it and he died instantaneously. Mm. And to carry the story even further, the Americans held on to the spear along with many of the other treasures that they recovered in that underground bunker for several months before returning it back to Austria. And while it was in the possession of America, Patton was very interested in it and started researching it and all this. So the beginning of 1946, we decided to give the stuff back. Within 2 weeks, Patton was dead in a mysterious automobile accident. He lost possession of the spear and he died.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe you should wear it around his neck like a lanyard with a lanyard.
Maybe, but it's a giant ass spearhead, so
it could be like Flavor Flav.
Yeah, it would kind of have that sentiment. But anyway, yeah, it's a really fascinating topic, and that relic is what inspired the whole reason why Indiana Jones takes place during World War II and why his enemies are the Nazis is because of this real world event, this real thing.
So where is the Spear of Destiny right now?
I'm glad you asked that because it is in the exact same museum where Hitler first laid eyes on it in 1919 in Austria. It's at the Habsburg Treasure House or something like that. I don't remember the exact name of it, but it's part of the crown jewels of the Habsburg dynasty, who were the rulers of Austria for a while.
Forever.
there may be some history people out there that are cursing me under their breath because I may have slaughtered some of that story. You'll have to forgive me. It's been a while since I've actually read any books on it.
That's fine.
But I'm just kind of going off the cuff. But that is the crux of it. And do a little bit of research about it. There's not a whole lot of stuff out there, but it's really fascinating. There have been some interesting books written about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds scary.
Thanks, Randy.
Thanks. And there is your history lesson. I feel so educated. And I wouldn't have even been as excited about that if it wasn't for my love for Indiana Jones. Once I heard it was based on a real thing, I couldn't stop reading about it.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they need to stab him? He's already up on the cross. It's kind of fucked up.
It's just like, hey, he's not moving. Somebody poke him with a stick.
See, he's still alive.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I don't like that. The audacity.
I think that was the idea.
I think that's sort of the idea, but I'm probably going to hell if I claim that to be the exact reason why. But yeah, it's that basic idea.
So Harrison Ford's got to be well into his 70s by now, right? Like 72, 73, somewhere around there?
Something like that, yeah.
So let's just pretend that they started filming next year, which they probably won't be doing, but I mean...
Well, let's just say that it comes out in 2018, exactly 10 years after Crystal Skull.
Sure.
I'm looking up Harrison Ford right now just to see his birth date, if it's on IMDb. Okay, he was born in 42, so that would make him... Holy crap.
Man.
76. In 2018.
Okay.
What?
So which so would make old. Him 74, 75 by the time he's shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, who knows?
70s.
He's not going to be able to be swinging around from...
Snake ropes?
Yeah, but...
Running from boulders?
But you never know.
He's going to need a handicap accessible booby trap.
Caves. I gotta say, what little we've seen of him from episode 7, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks great. Silver Fox.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm all for it. And I still maintain that Indy 5 is only happening because that was part of the deal that Harrison Ford made. To agree to appear in Star Wars Episode 7. Because, you know, he's always been kind of disassociated with Star Wars. So it's like he made two concessions. It's like, all right, I'll do it only if you kill off Han Solo and if you let me make Indy 5.
Right.
And I think they agreed on both of those counts.
See, and I wouldn't have a problem with Indiana Jones taking the James Bond route and just mm-hmm. having a new actor every, like, three or four movies.
No, I kind of agree with you there. And when all the rumors were floating around about Chris Pratt possibly taking over the mantle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I would be completely okay with that.
Yeah, I like him. I think he'd be a good Indiana Jones.
I think he's got the – he can pull off the rugged thing. Mm-hmm. He can definitely do that kind of funny, you know, quick with the quips kind of thing. And
he brings
him being a romantic leading man.
And he brings in a lot of dollars. His last couple movies have made big bucks.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So I could easily see that happening. But for whatever reason, they are kind of opposed to the idea of going the Bond route. And the interesting thing about that is Indiana Jones exists because Spielberg always wanted to direct a James Bond movie. But he never was given the opportunity. So he and Lucas got together and decided, you know what, we're going to create our own James Bond type character. And that's how Indy was born.
I like it. He came out of a Nazi.
Yeah. That's two things I learned you today.
I like it.
I done learned you.
Mm-hmm.
And how?
What else we got? My fucking Jared Leto's Joker. Here's the thing. We got to see the character in full makeup again, and this time wearing some interesting digs. He has like a purple reptilian jacket. He's on the cover of Empire magazine.
He skinned Killer Croc for that.
Yeah. That's funny you say that, because Killer Croc is in Suicide Squad. That would be horrible, and then dyed it purple.
Yeah.
Gotta love the purple. Personally, I'm not really a fan. I don't really know what to make of it. I'm being told by my peers that Jared Leto's performance will take me out of the funk that I'm in with his appearance, and I'll be able to run with it, but I don't know. I think I might just be too distracted by his looks. I'm a simple creature.
I think it was kind of over the top.
I'm going to have to hold off until I actually see him in action, because maybe his performance is going to be so understated that it'll balance out his over-the-top looks. Mm. You know what I mean? As opposed to somebody who looks kind of normal but has an over-the-top performance, maybe it'll be vice versa.
But I sort of feel like what we have seen of him, it is not subtle at all.
Yeah, like when he's in the room with the jumper cables.
But that's the only scene that we've seen with him so far, though.
That's true.
And even that wasn't crazy over the top.
And we don't even know how much of the movie he's in.
True. I mean, he could just
that
be
could
kind
be
of
his only scene.
Yeah, it could just be a little bit of a cock tease.
I don't like those.
I know you don't. Pardon the expression. But anyway, it's a look. It is a unique look that I have never seen for the Joker. So we've said that from the beginning, ever since we first saw his grill and his tattoo-covered body.
Yeah. He's pretty gnarly looking.
Yeah.
Is he wearing, like, sweatpants?
I think that's a tattoo of a smiling face with a bunch of teeth. Not, like, sweatpants, elastic waistband.
No, but underneath the tattoo, it looks like there's an elastic waistband on the blue pants.
Oh, okay. The image that I'm looking at isn't high-res enough to be able to tell. It just looks like pants.
Yeah, it looks like he's going jogging.
Why not? Jogging with jumper cables and a big old crocodile coat.
Yeah. I can't really tell.
No. I don't know.
You know what I know?
What do you know?
The Martian is actually a really good movie.
What?
I finally just saw it, and I think I helped propel it back to the number one spot on the box office this weekend. Yeah, so it's been out for 4 weeks, and it's back up to number one, beating several of the movies that just opened this weekend, like The Last Witch Hunter, which looked like a lot of fun and looked expensive, Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension. You know, you would think with Halloween being around the corner, it would have done better, but it only made $8 million. Probably Probably made more than it cost to, probably made more than it cost to make, though, because those things are fairly cheap to crank out. But I think people are finally starting to get tired of those, which is fine by me. But here's one that's kind of, that kind of shocked me a little bit. Rock the Casbah, the Bill Murray movie, only made $1.5 million. And it was out in like 2,000 screens. It just, and I know they spent a bunch of money marketing that thing because I've seen advertisements for it everywhere. But it's just one of those movies that maybe it'll gain traction the longer it's out. But opening weekend was kind of sad. I mean, they had to spend more than that just to get Bill Murray to show up for a day on set, I'm sure. Crazy stuff.
Wasn't there something to do with Paranormal Activity, though? Like, it was like video on demand and theatrical release or something like that?
That's entirely possible. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that it also shows that it was only released on 1,600 screens.
Yeah, that's pretty light.
That's about like half the number that you would normally associate with a big movie opening. Mm-hmm. So, and that would be consistent with something that was also out on VOD simultaneously. So, but like I said, those movies are fairly cheap to produce, so just about anything's going to be gravy, I'm sure.
All right, gravy.
Yeah. Number 15 this week, Gem and the Holograms. I didn't even know. I knew that movie was a thing, but I didn't know it was coming out so soon.
Right. They just put on like a couple of wigs and some guitars. I don't even know what it's about. In the cartoon, they would like fight crime, right? They performed in the beginning, then they would fight crime, and then they would have a rock show at the end. That's kind of how I remember it.
$1.3 million, and it cost $5 to make.
Wow.
Yeah. So rounding up the top three, we had Martian in the number one spot. Goosebumps was number two, and Bridge of Spies was number three. So the top three were all movies that had been out for at least 2 weeks.
Man. Yeah, Martian came out like early October. That's like a 4 week thing, I think.
Yeah, total domestic gross so far, $166 million for The Martian.
Oh, man, that's a good movie. And that's one of my favorites of the year.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
By far.
By far? I say I still have Kingsman and Mad Max pretty high on my list.
I would agree with both of those, but let me tell you, you guys fucked me on The Martian. you absolutely, you guys had so much fun while doing it, too. It was like a scene out of Clockwork Orange. So let me tell our listeners a little story. So the week that I was away in New York for New York Comic Con, you guys did the podcast without me, and I happened to listen to it a couple days after it was uploaded. And mind you, I hadn't seen The Martian yet. And the very first thing you guys are talking about, top of the show, talking about The Martian. So I'm hitting the little skip button, you know, while I'm listening to it on my iPhone. So I'm skipping 15 seconds here, 15 seconds there, ding, 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 trying to get past the point where I know I'm not going to hear any more spoilers. And I happen to pause just at a moment where it comes out of it, and I don't remember which one of you said it, but it was like, well, what does it matter? He dies at the end anyway.
Dave. It was Dave.
It's usually David, yeah. And I was like, God damn it, the one thing I was trying to avoid, I just happened to fumble-fuck my way into. Yeah. And I was so pissed. I was so upset. I was like, man, I still really want to see this movie, but now that I know how it ends, I don't want to see it because I don't want to get depressed. I was like, God damn it. Finally decided to see it, and I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be where he dies, and he didn't die. All right, no, he's definitely going to die here. He's definitely going to die when he tries to do the Iron Man thing. He's going to miss her, and he's going to fucking float off into space and die. It was like freaking Hot Tub Time Machine. I kept waiting for the arm to come off. I kept waiting for him to die, and he didn't die. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, he survived. I was like, those motherfuckers. Almost as if you did it intentionally.
Well, so Dave like opened with that, and then it's... And then we couldn't say, no, he doesn't die, because then that would spoil the movie, too. So I just decided to run with it, so everyone would have a surprise at the end. Even though we got hate tweets and emails, I'm like, these people will go watch it, and then they will feel better.
I remember making a comment about how, like, well, they can't just turn around and, like, make a U-turn, but, like, knowing full well that that's exactly what they did.
Anyway, really, really enjoyed the movie, and I think I enjoyed it even more because of the fact that I was truly bamboozled by the end.
Yeah, swindled.
Yes. So it ended up working out pretty well. That was probably more engaged than I've been at a movie in a long time, just because I kept waiting for something I thought was going to happen.
I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen. I assumed that he was going to be fine because I just couldn't see them ending the movie that way. But even having that firm belief that he was going to be okay, there were so many parts where I felt like I was at the edge of my seat because I was so scared he wasn't going to make it.
Yeah. Almost getting sick to your stomach. This is awful. Just hurry up and get it over with.
Especially when he was doing the Iron Man thing. I was practically like vibrating in my seat because I was just so anxious about whether he was going to make it.
Sure. And or even just the other crew members in general. You didn't want to, they've come so far.
I thought for sure one of them was going to die.
Yeah, because they had to set some kind of explosive or
something.
Spoiler
alert, sorry guys.
Well, it's been out for a month now, so.
Oh, has it already been a month?
Yeah, it's been 4 weeks.
The statute of limitations is a day.
Okay.
That's all there is to it.
Or at least that's how we treat stuff like The Walking Dead, anything on TV. By the time we record it and you listen to it, you should have watched it by now.
Right. So that's the thing. We were trying to talk about this. Was that on Monday we were trying to talk about this with?
I think so, yeah.
With when, at what point is it okay to reveal plot points and spoilers? Yeah. And with social media being the giant beast that it is today, it is nearly impossible to avoid them.
Yeah, and it's like rather than chastising people who are immediately posting spoilers online, maybe you just have to be a little bit more disciplined and keep yourself offline or off social media until you have the chance to watch a show. You know, it's like it sucks, but you can't control people around you. And there's always going to be that one jerk in your feed that has no filter whatsoever and will just post anything and everything about all the shit you don't want to know. So rather than trying to take those people out of the equation or chastise your friends or unfriend them, God forbid, you know, just keep yourself off of social media until you have a chance to watch your show, whatever it is. Just as simple as that. That's what I do. I'm not saying that should be what everybody does necessarily, but it works for me, and I don't get upset because I know that if I stumble across anything, it's my own damn fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I sympathize with people not wanting to be spoiled because you do lose a lot when you don't get to experience the discovery of something. Like, I remember watching Fight Club in high school with my boyfriend at the time, and he totally fucking spoiled it for me. Like he just had to, that was like the most furious I've ever been. Just like, wow, and it was at the beginning of the movie too.
Yeah, that's a pretty big reveal.
Right when what's his face, Brad Pitt came on screen, he spoiled the rest of the movie for me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. You know I haven't seen this. Like, why did you just do that?
Did you break up with him?
Not like right then, but eventually I did. But in this social media age or whatever, like, I understand that some people don't want to feel like they have to go on a media blackout, but honestly, it's not that hard.
Right.
So if you don't want to be spoiled, just don't go on Facebook.
Or Reddit or Twitter or whatever. Reddit's huge. Because then you got all the memes out there.
The memes, yeah.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm also not really the kind of person who is very active on those things. So it's not hard for me to avoid it at all.
Right. I can imagine like a movie like Psycho, where Norman Bates is his mom. And you're like, oh, well, thanks. If there was social media in the 50s, that would have sucked. Mm-hmm. Or the 60s, whenever it came out. And then, like, Who's Kaiser Sose? You know, The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one. The whole movie would have just been absolutely ruined.
It is. If you know that, then it's kind of like... Because when you find that out at the end, it completely changes how you see the whole movie.
Yes. It's all a ruse.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Fucked up. See, I think the same goes for sports, too. I'm in that boat where people don't want to know the scores. But at the same time, there's been apps forever. I remember when pages were a thing, you used to be able to get score updates. People have always been able to be in tune with box scores. But some folks just don't want to know how the game's being played out. They want to watch it for themselves.
Yeah.
I can respect it, but me, I got to know the outcome.
And, I mean, and honestly, like, just be an adult about it. Mm-hmm. Like, the onus is not upon other people to, you know, keep you within a cone of silence. If you want to remain spoiler free, you're going to have to do a little bit of effort or expend a little bit of effort in order to have that. But obviously people who go out of their way to ruin things for other people are assholes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, I still think it's really shitty for someone to just, like, go on their Facebook feed and be like, oh, I can't believe blah, blah, blah happened to blah, blah, blah.
Right. Like, with, was it AMC when they posted on their Facebook page,
oh,
like, RIP.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Before
like
the
Tyrese
West Coast
or something?
Feed,
yeah, yeah.
Even air.
It's like, ouch. That's fucked up.
Like, what the fuck, you guys? What's the matter with you?
That was a dick move.
Yeah, no, that's totally different. Like, the East Coast people just, like, being really shitty to the West Coast people or whatever.
They're in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Future boy. I remember, so sometimes on our show, not sometimes, probably every episode, there's definitely an inside joke between me, Dave, and Randy. And...
Oh, yeah, all the time. That's when I start to zone out.
Right.
When I'm silent, that's when I'm like, okay, these guys are talking in their secret language.
That's what happens when you know each other your whole lives. So we, every once in a while, we'll say, Qui-Gon's in it. And we'll go, dude, Qui-Gon's in it. And that is only because Dave was trying his hardest to avoid spoilers in episode 3. And Randy was scouring the internet every single day, all the live long day to find out everything that happened in this movie. So then all of our desks were in a line with each other. And so he would be reading and his face would be all close to his computer and you hear him chuckle or laugh or do like a Smithers tapping his fingers together kind of thing. And then he would send me something.
Just to drive Dave crazy?
Well, no, he's just getting giddy because it's Star Wars and he loves it. And then one time... And so Dave made it very clear that he wanted no spoilers. And he was not in the room, but there was this long-ass hallway in our office. And Randy had just sent me something, and we're reading about it. And it was kind of dealing with how Yoda was learning about how to live on after you pass away and kind of live through the Force. And it's kind of like an Easter egg or like an homage to how Obi-Wan Kenobi goes on to be blue. And then, you know, be a little ghosty form.
How you can come back as a Force ghost. Basically.
Yes, and Qui-Gon's the one that's communicating with Yoda to tell him, hey, look, don't worry about it. You can, I've learned this sweet new trick with the Force. And whether that was real or not, in some form it was because Yoda was like, oh, I've been talking to Master Qui-Gon or whatever. And you're like, whatever, old man. But anyway, so I'm reading this. And I go, dude, Qui-Gon's in it. And David just come around the corner. And he's like, what the fuck? And so that is forever our spoiler alert. Is dude, Qui-Gon's in it. It's so sad. So I guess in retrospect, Randy, if we would have said, dude, Qui-Gon's in it, that might have been a cue for the Martian that maybe it's not a real thing.
Yeah. That's okay.
But he
might not have
heard that part because he was skipping. Yeah. He just so happened to land on a quote-unquote spoiler.
Yes. That was all a ruse.
Yeah.
You were Kaiser Sose'd.
It all ended up working out for the best, though, because I think it really did kind of force me to enjoy the movie By being more...
Oh, because you thought it was... You already knew what was happening.
Yeah. Same thing, like... Because right now, just like I was for episode 3, like Justin was just describing, I am following all the Star Wars spoilers. It's like, I feel like I know the movie without having seen it so far. Which is sad, but it's true. Now, all of this could still very well be speculation, and it could be 100% different than what is in the actual movie. So maybe I will sit there on December 17th and I will be completely blown away because it'll be contrary to all of the spoilers that I've read.
Well, you're going to the midnight showing?
I'm doing the 7 p.m. showing, even earlier than the midnight showing.
So wait, they're playing it on the 17th?
Yes.
Oh.
7 p.m. on the 17th.
I thought it came out on the 18th.
Yeah, well, I mean, somewhere along the line, midnight on the 18th became 7 p.m. on the 17th.
So.
And those are the good ones.
Funny.
Those like, ones are not out in the cold, and you get to enjoy the movie and still get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this particular one is it's assigned seating, so you don't have to wait out there for 12 hours or, mm-hmm. God forbid, longer to get a decent seat. You buy the seat that you're going to be stuck in up front, and you don't have to worry about it. So.
Are you happy with your seat?
Yeah, dead center.
Oh.
Like, dead center. We were... The very nice young gentleman that bought the tickets for this IMAX screening was the very first person in line actually waiting at the theater for the tickets to go on sale. Not even knowing the time that they would go on sale, he was hanging out there waiting anyway. So he was able to score a bunch of center auditorium tickets. And that was really the way to go when the tickets went on sale, because every single website that sold movie tickets ultimately ended up crashing. I was trying to get a backup set so that I could go later in the evening and see it a second time, and I could not get online with any of these sites, whether it's Fandango, MovieTickets.com, or even individual movie theater chains trying to go to the chain website to buy a ticket through them. Everything was crashed. So the only sources of tickets that were able to be kind of guaranteed were the folks that I knew that went and actually waited in line to buy their tickets, which is crazy. I mean, I haven't heard of that happening ever, I think. I mean, if you look at the previous record for pre-sale, I believe it went to one of the Hunger Games movies. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one, but I think it was one of the more recent ones. This one shattered that record by six times higher.
Wow.
For the opening day pre-sale for Star Wars.
So Tim Byers from thefullbleed.net, mm-hmm. he believes that The Force Awakens will break 3 billion.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Wow.
Well, I hope so.
I
mean, with IMAX and 3D and
the Randys and the Vaughns and the Davids of the world that are going to go see the movie 10,000
times.
1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's doable. It might have to be with re-releases and what have yous, but I think it could probably do it. I was laughing him off the podcast when he said 3 billion. I thought that was Dr. Evil money, but overseas. Mm-hmm. And they honestly can keep it in theaters as long as they want. So
that's true.
It's possible.
Well, I got tickets for the opening day. So
did you really? Am I the only asshole that didn't buy tickets?
Well, I did because it's actually my friend's birthday, and that's what he wants to do for his birthday.
Oh.
So we're going to go see Star Wars.
Oh, man. I'm just going to go to, like, the first show on Sunday or something.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, do we want to, like, do an emergency podcast? But
well, only
you're not going to see until later.
Yeah, only because it's holidays, and that's crunch time in retail. So mm-hmm. I'm fucked. The week before Christmas? Come on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to be on lockdown. And I'm like the closing manager on Friday nights, so I'm just effed in the A. Although I could go first show in the morning, I could do that. That won't be a problem. Get my Star Wars on.
Do what you want.
Yeah. Good stuff. Do we have a list?
We do have a fun list. This one comes courtesy of a British website called The Independent. and they have compiled.
I was all thinking timefatigue.com or something stupid.
You're an idiot.
I know, I'm the worst.
Well, it does have the .co.uk, so that's very indicative of the UK. This is a fun and fabulous list of the top 10 greatest movie characters. And this is just going to be a real fun one. I'm just going to throw them out there to you lightning fast.
Sure.
And it's neat because they're very relevant today. A lot of these characters are movies that are coming out very soon.
Oh.
All right. Number 10, The Big Lebowski's The Dude.
I like it.
Uh-huh. I'm kind of surprised he broke the top 10, but I'm going with it. Love it. Number 9, Star Wars Darth Vader. Number 8, Tyler Durden, and we were just talking about Fight Club.
Yeah.
Wait, this is like, what is the list?
This is the top 10 greatest movie characters.
Greatest movie characters. Okay.
Movie characters, sure. Voted on by a bunch of Brits.
Sure.
All right. Number 7, Die Hard's John McClane.
Pass.
Ooh.
Number
what? 6. I hate Bruce Willis. Fuck that guy. I used to love him, but now I hate him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are on that train right now. Number 6, The Joker. There's no specific iteration of The Joker, just The Joker.
Sure.
Number 5, Ellen Ripley from Alien movies.
Yeah, she's America's first badass female.
Still haven't seen that.
Oh my god!
They're not bad movies at all, except for like part 3 and 4. Watch 1 and 2. Watch Alien and Aliens.
No. Remember, 3, the director's cut, is amazing.
Oh, I still haven't seen that. I need to get on that.
Oh, so good. Whole nother movie. You wouldn't believe it.
Ironically, 3 and 4, only ones I've seen in the theater.
Well, that's fair because of
I was
your
too
age.
Young for the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the other ones so much, by the time 3 and 4 came out, I had to give it a try at least.
Yeah.
Number 4, you cannot have the Joker without Batman.
Sure.
Batman's number 4.
Batman!
Number 3, Han Solo.
Ooh, 2 Star Wars.
Number 2, James Bond, which we didn't even talk about. Spectre coming out next week. Holy crap.
Oh,
and number
already?
1, I know, right? Number 1 on the list, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So Harrison Ford is number 1 and number 3 on this list.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
He's played some pretty iconic characters over the years.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, when he was at Comic-Con like 2 or 3 years ago, whenever that was, I forget.
Cowboys and Aliens?
Well, what?
He was there for Cowboys and Aliens.
He wasn't there for Ender's Game?
He was also there for Ender's Game.
Because I remember he was kind of grumpy when he was asked questions about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And we were thinking, why has he got to be such a dick? Because these people are obviously starstruck, and their questions might sound good in their head, but then when they fumble them out of their mouths because they're talking to the number 3
like
and
one
number
1,
yeah, greatest characters of all time,
right?
You should probably show a little bit more patience. I mean, that I realize that that's hard and tricky, and you're doing something that he doesn't want to do and be in a room full of a bunch of screaming people, but...
Well, and how long has he lived this life, you know?
Right. Like, it's just one of those things you gotta suck up, though, man. Honestly, these people, they worship him.
I know, but I can understand, like... I mean, when was he in Star... Like, how old was he in Star Wars?
Like, in his 30s?
Yeah, he's in his 30s.
He's been living this life for 40 years.
I know.
That's a really long time to not be able to have, like, a normal interaction with another human being.
But now he's like a hermit. He lives, like, in...
Montana, I think.
Montana, yeah. Right. He's on his own little ranch. He doesn't really go to a lot of these things, so...
He seems like a crotchety old man.
Yeah, and he's way up on stage. He's talking to these people that are 50 yards away from him, so
he probably was just like, man, I really want to get high right now.
Yeah.
Is he still married to Calista Flockhart?
I think so.
Oh, right.
Yeah. There's a couple.
I'm just saying that when you are ranked number... when you played characters that are ranked number 3 and number 1 of greatest characters of all time, according to British people,
right,
then you gotta be a little patient with with the fans. That's just all there is to it.
I agree.
It's not like he's coming out of the bathroom or trying to eat a meal. He's at an actual function promoting a movie.
Yeah.
And no one's bothering him on his time. like to stealing the urinal cake.
If I'm here and you're here,
is this our time? Exactly.
Exactly. Wait, what is that from?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, okay.
So good.
I don't know how I recognize that if I haven't seen that.
Because we quote it every week.
Okay.
Whether it makes the podcast or not, we quote Fast Times every single week.
Yeah. Sad but true.
Hey, I like the song. Sad but true! Metallica.
Good times.
Anyway.
That's it. We had a game, but Dave has it in his possession. So we'll
wrangle it out of him next week if we can pull him away from the walkers.
Yeah.
Out of the jaws of the walkers.
He's out in sunny Ontario or some shit. Or Riverside. Right. I don't know where he is.
Yeah, somewhere out in the desert.
Corona.
But I will say, I've got a quick shout out, and it's also going to be regarding the whereabouts of one Mr. David Edmondson.
Sure.
Dave and I are going to be making an appearance at Stan Lee's Kamikaze this weekend. Any of you LA geeks going to be heading out there to Kamikaze? Check us out Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. We're going to be doing a panel on social media and marketing your indie films and web series.
Sweet.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're going to be up on stage with Chris Gore and Holly Payne, who is the producer of The Death of Superman Lives, that really cool documentary about Tim Burton's almost Superman movie. John Schnepp was supposed to be on the panel and couldn't make it, so they called David and I to replace him, which is kind of crazy. So we're doing it.
Awesome. Man,
we can't get away from Chris Gore. That guy, we bump into that guy at every single convention we ever go to.
I know, and this time we actually
gonna be on stage.
We're gonna be sharing a table.
Shit.
So that's kind of fun. So yeah, if you're gonna be at Kamikaze, come check it out.
I like the drink Kamikaze.
I haven't been to Kamikaze since the first year they did it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. After that, they stopped giving Geek Legacy media passes, so I was like, all right. Fight me that way.
And now, now you're on stage.
And now we're on stage.
That's like when Norm Macdonald got fired from Saturday Night Live, and then the next season they had him come back to host.
Right. Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Same exact thing.
Anywho.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Geek Legacy's Kamikaze convention next year.
Hey, well, I will throw this out there as well, because I don't know if it's going to happen yet, because Stan is a very busy man. But since we won the Best of Fest prize with Nonstop to Comic-Con at Long Beach Comic-Con, we won a prize package that includes a VIP meet and greet with Mr. Stan Lee himself.
And
that's supposed to be happening at Kamikaze. So hopefully it's going to be that same day since we're already going to be there Saturday. But hopefully we're actually going to get to meet him. And I'm going to bring the little plaque that we won and have him sign that for us. And I think that would be pretty amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that actually happens. So I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Cool, man. Have fun with that.
Yeah. We've always wanted to try to get an interview with him for Geek Legacy, and so far we haven't been able to pull that off, but if one of us can at least get close enough, we can kind of work ourselves into his consciousness, so if he ever sees us at another event, he'll actually do an interview with us.
Sure. I like it.
Gotta keep the hope alive.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. I think that's it. Anybody else got anything else? We good?
That is it.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast, episode 165, if you can believe it. That's nuts. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Whilst you're there, check out the other podcasts on the network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner Podcast, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list. What's hot, what's not, what sucks, what's amazing, what you should be reading. Then you also have the Pixelated Podcast, hosted by Stephen K. Janes and myself, where we talk about a week's worth of highlights in the video game news. And we want you to like us on the Facebook there, follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy, at Pixelated Pod, and at the Comic Corner. I hope you have a fabulous week, and we will see you next Tuesday. Thank you.